Amen. Great guide. Thank you, Father, through our Lord and Savior, Mashiach Yahushua. We're going to begin. Sharon tonight is going to be Standing Alone. A good article was done by E.W. Bullinger in the 1800s, or early 1900s, from Britain. And so in order to be, anybody who watches this or comes to Telulos Ministries is going to be a unique person who actually wants the truth and not the tradition. But when you look at the, when you actually endeavor to do the truth, there's a lot of adversity that automatically comes to you. And as we're going to look at Standing Alone, adversity is part of it, and that's why most people won't stand, because they don't want to be alone, and so they compromise and go to the Word. So we've got to realize standing alone is so difficult is only because we have an adversary, Satan. And Satan is Hebrew for adversary. And we're going to be enlightened upon him. So we've got to always look there always first. We're not deceived about false church doctrines, but we got to remember Satan many times is a deacon in the congregation. He doesn't have full control, but he has control in certain areas. And so we go to 2 Corinthians 11, which gives us great information. So about our opponent. We wrestle, you know, that's Ephesians 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 3. And I could wish you would bear with me as to some little foolishness. Nay, do even bear with me. For I am jealous over you with the jealousy of Yahweh. For I myself betroth you unto one husband to present a chaste virgin unto the Mashiach. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent completely deceived Eve in his craftiness, and that craftiness is very important. In Genesis 1:2, it says, the serpent was craftier than any other living thing. So if you don't think you're deceived, you've been deceived.
It was Genesis what?
Genesis 2:1. You know, in the garden where he said, did God say? But Yahweh introduces the serpent as craftier than any other living thing. And in his craftiness, your mind should be corrupted from the singleness and chasteness which are due unto the Christ. And we also go to 13. We'll look at 13 through 15. For such as these are false apostles, deceitful workers, transfigure themselves into apostles of Christ. Now wait a minute, so he doesn't have horns and he's not wearing, you know, it looks like a lizard coming into your church with a cape, raining hell. No, he's going to be an apostle. That's who he's going to be, an apostle. Well, that's not fair. Yeah, that's called craftiness. That is craftiness. For no marvel, for Satan himself does transfigure himself into a messenger of light. What was Eve communicating with? A messenger of light. No great thing, therefore, his ministers also are transfiguring themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So, by standing alone, you've got to realize what happens is the majority are either cowardly or deceived or both or wicked. You know, so some of the people are in there are satanic workers. And so we had a guy named BTK who was a mass murderer. And you know where he was? He's in a Lutheran church. He's a deacon of a Lutheran church. We have another abortionist, you know, who did partial birth abortion. What was his name?
Tiller,
George Tiller. George Tiller, partial birth abortions, I think Boulder, Colorado, or Wichita were the only people who would do that. He did it. And where was he shot? In the Lutheran church.
He was Lutheran also?
Yeah, he was a Lutheran
both
church.
Both of them were?
Yeah. And so you're in the Lutheran church, this is where these people hide out.
they hired
him.
No, the guy who shot him obviously knew where he was, but so we got to realize this is serious business that we're talking about, that the church so you got to realize we'll always be, if we're standing alone, is because people usually don't want the truth, but we're going to be a minority. And so anybody who's watching this, you got to be able to have faithfulness to say, regardless of whether people come or not, I stand. And so we're going to read a little bit, a few quotes from this Standing Alone with Yahweh by E.W. Bullinger, which was done in Things to Come in 1908. I just did a little highlights. Noah believed Yahweh, and being divinely instructed by him, he was proof against all the sneers and jibes which may be sure were leveled at his madness. So him building an ark was madness. But Noah was preserved while the flood came and took them all away. He was nuts. Is he a minority? Yeah, 8 souls. There's probably billions of people on the earth. 8 souls were saved. He was a preacher. He called himself a preacher. Let me show you this. People today look for results. And unless we are able to show them or to make up some report, our work is considered on all hands as a failure. But as we have nothing whatever to do with results, what we have to do with is our faithfulness. Results are in the hands of the Lord, but for our faithfulness, we are alone responsible. If they would look at Noah, your church stuck. How many members? 8 members? When a meeting has been arranged and only a few persons are present, we regard that as a failure. But there must be one there whose heart Yahweh has prepared. So there's only one person in the meeting. And so this E.W. Bullinger was an Anglican minister, and he was a Trinitarian, but he spoke a lot of truths that were against what the church was made you popular. If the Lord raises up a servant to do an important work, we must not jump to the conclusion that he wishes that work to be perpetuated. He may have other service and other works for them to do. So sometimes some mighty person rides up and there's no, it seems to be no apparent successor. And that's all right. Yahweh knows what he's doing. May the lessons of Noah's faith be written on our hearts and bear precious fruit in our service, that we may remember and apply another lesson which, through the interpretation, may belong to others, has a solemn application for us, and reminds us there will be one day set of certain servants, well done, good and faithful servant, not good and successful. That was a really good point.
Faithful.
Yeah, faithful servants. Now we'll kind of look at some of these people on Standing Alone. You know, what kind of inspired me, we went to a resurrection service last weekend, which people blasphemy call Easter. Easter is the goddess Esther, and the church still today doesn't make any difference. They're going to use the word Easter. But we're going, and this is a Trinitarian church, and we know that, me and my wife, and we're sitting there, and the prologue or the field, this has probably 700 people, 2 different services. The prologue, they have this whole film going on, and it quoted that Jesus is Yahweh, the Creator. And we were, and that was just part of it. We were so appalled that we couldn't even continue anymore. That Jesus, the only begotten Son of Yahweh, is Yahweh, the Creator. And so there's no Yahweh, there's just Jesus. And, you know, we're expecting God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but you're looking at this and you're like, my God. Guess what? Satan just did the preface of the service. Mm-hmm. Can you believe that? So he's there as a deacon somewhere. You know, not maybe physical body, but somewhere, somebody's got that stuff coming in here. And so Satan, in all these churches, he's got a place. Doesn't mean he has a stronghold. He might have 10% on the doctrines that's coming out, which, boy, if you can say that Jesus is Yahweh, the Creator, and you have to say chapter and verse, well, what does that do to Yahweh at a service of resurrection? Did Christ resurrect himself? Absolutely not. Yahweh gave his only begotten Son. These are the whole foundational. But here you have hundreds of people who sit there, and it's going right through them. So standing alone, we know with Noah, eight people stood with him. How many hundreds of years?
120 years.
Yeah, so you're looking at that eight people. Amen. Abraham and Sarah, Abram and Sarah, obviously lived in tents by standing alone with their community. Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, we know that Joseph, or Yosef, stood alone in prison and, you know, and different areas of his life, but was very fruitful and faithful. You know, he could have really become very, very bitter and given up on Yahweh, but instead he became a servant of Yahweh that saved probably the Christ line. Because maybe Jacob or Jacob would have been died of starvation. Now we go to see Moses at Hebrews 11:24. And a lot of this is in Hebrews, you know, 11, the faith chapter. But it's really not the faith chapter. It is in part, but it's the endurance factor. So all of this, these people, which they call the great cloud of witnesses, not only faith and stood in a particular period of time, but they endured through the whole period of time. So we look at Moses 11:24-27. By faith, Moses, when grown up, refused to be called the son of a daughter of a Pharaoh, rather choosing to be jointly suffering ill treatment with the people of Yahweh than for a season to have sin's enjoyment, accounting as greater riches than Egypt's treasures the reproach of the Anointed One, for he was looking away unto the recompense. And by faith he forsook Egypt. So we know that he stood alone, and he's in the wilderness for 40 years and gave up all that. So we can usually relate to society hating us, the unbeliever hating us. We can usually get that. And I don't think we are too, that's not crafty. You know, we're not invited to the parties, you know, and we're not in part of the circles, but okay, I can kind of handle that. The craftiness is where it's right in the church family. That's where the craftiness. And when people don't know this word, they are saps to be manipulated. And as we saw in that church that we went into, easy manipulation. Now we go to Yahushua, Joshua, but his name is actually Yahushua, Joshua 24:15. He's a great person who stood alone.
Hold on now. Go ahead.
But if it be a vexation in your eyes to serve Yahweh, choose ye for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are dwelling. But here's what I'm going to stand. I and my house will serve what? Yahweh. All we're going to be accountable is our house, and we're going to serve Yahweh. So the temptation is always to be diverted into some other area besides Yahweh. And we'll get in that more specifically. Here is Samuel, the judge of Israel, 1 Samuel chapter 7. And we know that Samuel was a child and was very faithful. And the story with Hophni and Phinehas, Eli did not stand, their father did not stand faithful. and end up paying the price for that by not disciplining his sons. And why did he do that? Because he didn't want to be the bad guy. And so how many people are that in their church? They see something going on and they keep quiet because they don't want to be the bad guy. They don't want the church to lose their church family. So really this is concerning about standing alone, not from the world. We're used to that. That's real simple. You know, I'm not going to be hanging out with fornicators and liars and criminals, but I'm looking at the deception that's in the Christian church today. And in verse 2:7-2, and so it was that from the day the ark came to dwell in Kirjath-Jearim, remember the ark was taken, the Philistines grabbed it from Hophni and Phinehas, Eli died, Samuel was alive, but we're going to see this happened 20 years has passed now, right here. The days multiplied and became 20 years. Samuel, what's Samuel doing for 20 years? Standing alone. Where are the rest of the people with their gods? And all the house of Israel went mourning after Yahweh. Yeah, 20 years. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if with all your heart you are returning unto Yahweh, well, where have you been for 20 years? Returning unto Yahweh. These are not the unbelievers. These aren't the Philistines. These are the Christian church. I mean, that's the synagogue. Then put away the gods of your foreigner out of their midst and Ashtaroth, and firmly set your heart towards Yahweh. And we can see that. Most Protestants see it very simply that the Roman Catholic faith worship Mary. And they pray to her. And everybody knows you can't do that. Every Protestant knows that. Now the Catholics who care less are going to do it regardless. Now then we must ask the Protestants, where are you doing something in that same kind of format? The Catholics close their eyes to it. Where are you closing your eyes to it? And you have to say, oh, I'm not closing my eyes to anything. Yes, you are. And so when you look at it or not. But here it is, and firmly set your heart towards Yahweh and serve him alone, that he may deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So Samuel stood alone for 20 years and trying to get the people back. David, King David, we'll go to Psalms 3. So you want to be king, huh? We're looking at this. That's where. So you want to be a millionaire, billionaire. You have no idea sometimes what the adversities they had to go through to get that and to maintain it. But here's just Psalms 3. A melody of David when he fled from before Absalom, his son. This is somebody standing alone, right in the kingdom. And instead of people praising him, so here's the person, his whole church, which is Judah, is basically kicking him out. Yahweh, how have mine adversaries multiplied? Multitudes are rising against me. Multitudes are saying of my soul, no salvation for him in Elohim. But thou, Yahweh, art a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. With my voice unto Yahweh do I cry, and he hath answered me out of the holy mountain. I lay me down and slept. I awoke. Surely Yahweh sustained me. I will not be afraid of myriads of people. That's a lot of people. Myriads are like thousands and thousands. Who round about me have set themselves against me. Is he standing alone? Yes, he is. Rise, Yahweh, save me, my Elohim. Surely thou hast smitten all my foes on the cheekbone. The teeth of the lawless hast thou broken. To Yahweh belong the salvation, and upon thy people be thy blessing. Now we go to Jeremiah. We have a lot of people who call themselves prophets throughout the world, and in the Christian circles who call themselves prophets. Jeremiah actually was a prophet. And we're going to look at his chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Wendy, you want to read that?
Did you say Wendy?
Yeah.
So then the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee at thy birth, I took knowledge of thee. And before thy nativity, I hallowed thee. A prophet to the nations, I appointed thee. Then said I, Ah, my Lord Yahweh, lo, I know not how to speak, for a child am I. Then said Yahweh unto me, Do not say a child am I, for against whomsoever I send thee, shalt thou go, and whatsoever I command thee, shalt thou speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for with thee am I to deliver thee, declareth Yahweh.
Okay, that sounds really good. If you ever read the book of Jeremiah, it got really serious. And we're going to look at one place, chapter 20, verse 14. For all those wannabe prophets, and if you're called to be a prophet, that's great. But generally, you're not the most popular. Remember when Samuel came to the house of Jesse, they said, Do you come peacefully?
Yeah.
You know, so...
What is it again?
Yeah, Jeremiah 20:14 through 18. Now, look at this. This is Jeremiah saying about himself. Accursed be the day on which I was born, the day when my mother bare me, let it not be blessed. Accursed be the man who carrieth tidings to my father, saying, There is born to thee a man-child, making him very glad. Yea, let that man be as the cities which Yahweh overthrew and repented not. And let him hear an outcry in the morning and a war shout at broad noon. Because I was not slain from the womb, nor did my mother become my grave, nor was her womb great forever. Wherefore was it that from the womb I came forth to see labor and pain, and that in shame should my days be consumed. Wow. That is heavy. That is heavy. And Job does the same thing in Job 3:3. We're not going to go there. We're going to go to Daniel now. He stood alone, you know, and I was just listening to Jeremiah. It was interesting. There's a place in Jeremiah where it mentions that Yahweh is having the Chaldeans take away the people who he wants to be taken away, who are going to be restored at one particular time. So he's saying, leave Jerusalem. The holy place is not Jerusalem. The holy place now is Babylon. Jerusalem is a pit. The church is the pit, is where it was. And so Daniel actually got delivered. We're going to see by Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, chapter 6. 9 through 11. Wherefore King Darius signed the writings and the interdict. But Daniel, when he saw that the writing was signed, went to his own house, and the windows being opened to him in his chambers towards Jerusalem, three times a day was he kneeling upon his knees and praying and give thanks unto his God in like manners as he had been doing aforetime. Remember what the edict was? The craftiness of the adversary through Darius, through the King Darius, who is the Persian, went and said, if anybody ask any petition besides to you, let him be cast in the lake of fire. And he didn't see the craftiness that was happening. So Satan was there to kill who?
Daniel.
Yeah, Yahweh's man. Wow. But did Daniel bow to it? No. Yeah, so just think of that. And that's the same way with us. The alternative is to pressure us. So Satan used a group pressure in order to submit. That if you do, and we love to be accepted. We're social creatures.
We want recognized.
To be, yeah, part to be recognized. We want to be where everybody else is and to be popular. We just crave it. And Satan knows that. So we're going to use that to say, if you don't submit, you're going to be ousted. Not necessarily killed in the United States. In Iran, you'd be killed if you're a Christian or even a Hebrew. In the United States, you're just going to be ousted. You're going to be, what do they call that?
Ostracized.
Yeah, ostracized. And if we go to verse 16, you know, he gets thrown into the lion's den. Then the king gave word, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. The king spake and said to Daniel, thy Elohim whom thou art serving continually, he will deliver thee. Isn't that great?
Amen.
And this is probably Cyrus's father, which was Cambyses. You know, he was 65 when he came in and took over Babylon. And that's another chapter. But as we know, Daniel stood alone. We go to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their names are really Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. But Daniel 3, and everybody realizes this, but this is very important. Because one thing about Satan is he's very religious. I'm going to use that in a very broad sense. If you look at Israel, was always religious. Manasseh, people had false gods. You had Baal. You had calves. You were burning incense. So religion, and when I religion, it's not even the right word. Religion means re-ligament.
Re-what?
Ligament. So re-attach. A ligament is an attachment. So that's what the word actually means. So I don't know why we don't have a word for what I'm trying to express. But that's what the actual word means, to reattach. Well, what does that got to do with anything? You know, so, but to give you the deal, is Satan is very, very religious. And or on the deception, because people crave that, and so they want to have that connection, so I'm going to facilitate that and take you off where you're praying 10 Hail Marys and one Our Father to somebody who's dead. You're praying to Mary who's dead. But you're going to see, and with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, 3:16, are they going to stand alone? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not accounting it needful concerning this to answer thee. If it is our God whom we serve is able to deliver us out of the burning furnace of fire and out of the hand, O king, he will deliver. Imagine doing this to Nebuchadnezzar. He's like God on earth at this particular time. But if not, be it known to thee, O king, that thy God will we not serve. And the image of gold which thou hast set up will we not adore. Yeah, we got a problem with that, because that same edict is today in the Christian church. That's saying you're going to bow. And what is, it's not a golden calf, it's a doctrine. And the doctrine is called the Trinity. And so just to show you, you know, as we did this a couple teachings back, a little bit of the anathemas of the Second Council of Constantinople, 553 AD. This was the quote-unquote, the Christian church. And it says, if anyone does not confess that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one nature or essence, one power or authority, worshipped as a trinity of the same essence, one deity in three hypostases or persons, let him be anathematized, which means cursed. For there is one God and Father of whom are all things, and one Lord Jesus Christ through whom are all things, and one Holy Spirit in whom are all things. So that if you don't bow to that, you cannot join a church today. Mm-hmm. Now, the Mormons and the Jehovah Witnesses and the Way Ministry have actually obey Deuteronomy 6:4-9. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim, Yahweh is one.
But they don't use the word Yahweh.
No, but still, they're one God. It's the Father. Now, the 39 articles, so in Britain, that was 553 AD. This has been going on a long time. In Britain, you cannot become a minister of the gospel, and you could not really hold any political office unless you agreed to the 39 articles of the Church of England. In 1563, the article of faith in the Holy Trinity. There is but one living and true God, everlasting, without body, parts, or passions. Just incredible stuff. Mm-hmm. Of infinite power, wisdom, and goodness, the maker and preserver of all things, both visible and invisible. And in unity of this Godhead, there will be three persons of one substance, power, and eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. If you do not believe, if you do not say, yes, I do this, you're out.
Into the fire.
But yeah, you can't have political office. You cannot be a minister. You can't teach the Gospels. You can't teach the Word. And Britain, and that was probably till 300 years, at least that. That's called the 39 Articles. And as today, to become a member of most churches, you have to bow as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're going to
not
do
literally bow.
Yes, but
not
you are.
Back then you did.
No, but so this time you are bowing and saying that I am going to believe the doctrine of demons in order to be part of this organization. So in order, think of our adversary. Okay, I'm going to press you. All right, I'm going to manipulate you. Do you want to be alone? You want to stand alone? Very sad. Or will you bow to me? Because who created this thing? Satan, of course. Who's the one that said to Eve, did God really say you cannot eat the tree of life?
Not surely.
Yeah, it's surely. Who is it came up with this? Well, this is Satan. So he is the gateway. That's the first statement. That's the gateway to enter into the church today. And most
whole essence
most,
of the Trinity.
Yeah.
Satan, the whole essence of it.
Yeah, but that's what it comes down to. And you're like, and that's what Shadrach refused to. And we're refusing to do that too. And we're ousted all the time. And we're not thrown in any fire. We're not, our jobs aren't taken away, thank Yahweh. Now, we go to Peter, standing alone, Acts chapter 4. And our ministry is very popular. On our Facebook, we have about 12,000 U.S. members, but we have about 12,000 in Africa, Nigeria, and Kenya. And I believe these people want the truth, and they're not going to bow. If they can see this in the Word, they're going to do what the Word says instead of bowing. So the United States and Canada places, England, there's so much pressure that you have to do this, or you cannot be part of the organization. So there's people out there, and like us, chapter 4, and I was raised a Catholic, and I didn't know anything about the Trinity, but I prayed to Mary, because that's what we were told to. And so, but then when we open up the book and find out that's not what it says, and so when you look at these statements, they're not in the book. Don't tell me I've got to believe that, or I'm accursed. On the contrary, I read in the book, who is accursed? And that's Galatians 1:6-9. These people are accursed. And that's always Satan. Mm-hmm. He does what, he says this is the truth when it's actually a lie. And he will call us a liar when he's the actual liar. It's always reversing it. So I'm going to curse you first. And also, Paul said, you're accursed. If it's not written in this book, accursed are you. And that's the book of Galatians. But look at Peter 4:1-3. But as they were speaking unto the people, the high priest, here's the church, the high priest, and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees. And what did Sadducees believe?
They didn't believe
resurrection. No resurrection. Came upon them, being tired out because of them teaching the people and announcing in Yahushua the what?
Resurrection.
The resurrection. From among the dead. We teach there is no Trinity. Well, they're going to be tired about us. We don't want these people around here because Trinity is our foundational that's our cornerstone of the rock, like Christ is the rock. And they thrust on them their hands and put them in custody for the morrow, for it was evening already. Howbeit, many of them that heard the word believed, and the number of the men became about 5,000. And it came to pass upon the morrow that there was gathered unto them the rulers and the elders and the scribes in Jerusalem, all religious people. Just remember, it's always around religion. That is Satan's influence. Also, Ananias, the high priest, and Caiaphas, Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the high priestly descent, the high priest. And setting them in the midst, they began to inquire, in what manner of power, what manner of manner did you do this? Then, you know, then Peter gives a speech. But Peter was obviously harassed. How about the Apostle Paul? We know that. We don't have to go there, but 2 Timothy 1:15, all Asia has turned from me. That is not success. And so here's what Bollinger says, which is very interesting in this, Standing Alone. Noah was the only one in the Old Covenant who is called the preacher. Yet judged by outward results and appearances, his preaching was a failure.
Who was that?
Noah.
Yeah, okay. Eight people. That was it? That's your life's work?
Yeah.
Oh, and they're family members. We are commissioned to preach the word, whether men will hear it or whether they will forbear, whether they will endure or whether they will not. And that's Ezekiel 2:5-7 and 2 Timothy 4:3. Preach the word. Our job is not to have the results. We throw the seeds out. And so that's our ministry. We're sowing seeds, and some will sprout, other ones will die on the place, but we keep throwing the seeds. If men will not endure or hear, we are not to seek for something else which they will endure, and that is 2 Timothy 4:3-4. There will be a season when the healthful teachings they will not endure, but according to their own covetings will they heap unto them teachers, because they have itching ears, and from the truth they will turn unto stories, turn their ear into stories. But simply, we will not endure, if men will not endure or hear, we are not to seek for something else which will endure. Yeah, sugar, you know, it's like we were talking about before. Sugar is a great sales item. You know, it goes on pop, on donuts. It can get customers. Just give them sugar. Sugar everything up. But simply to preach the word. So our job is to preach the word. Now we go to Hebrews 12. We'll finish up here. Preach the word. You are not a failure. Noah was not a failure. Apostle Paul was not a failure.
Jeremiah
was not a failure. Jeremiah. Samuel.
Elijah.
Yeah, I mean, you got Elijah, Elisha. You just got one after another after another. 12 verse 1. Therefore, indeed, you know, this is after the witnesses of by faith, endurance. Let's just see, look, before we go there, go to 10:36, so we see what the context we're going to be going through. 10:36, for of endurance you have need, in order that the will of Yahweh having done, you may bear away the promise. And you go all the way through here. What brought all these people together is they endured. They stood alone. I guess before we go to 12:1, let me go one other place. And let's go to 11:33. Whom through faith prevailed in contests over kingdoms, wrought righteousness, attained unto promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the mouths of the sword, were made powerful from weakness, became mighty in battle, overturned camps of aliens. Women received by resurrection their dead, but others were put to the rack, not accepting redemption, that unto a better resurrection they might attain. Others again of mocking and scourgings received trial. Nay, further of bonds and imprisonment, they were stoned, were pierced through, were sawed asunder, by murder with the sword died, went about sheepskins and goat's hides, being in want, suffering tribulation, enduring ill treatment, of whom the world was not worthy, upon deserts, wandering in mountains and in caves and in the caverns of the earth. Standing alone? Yes, these people stood alone. 12:1. Therefore, indeed, seeing that we have encircling us so great a cloud of witnesses, they're not alive, they're all dead, as we know this, the lie that death connects you to heaven is a lie from who? Our adversary. And it's right part of the church doctrine. It's absolutely part of the church doctrine. And Bollinger does another one on the resurrection of the dead. And he says, trying to teach the truth, people don't want. They want to say, the Lord says, in the last days I will raise you up. No, Lord. In death we will come to you. So we just change it. In death we will come to you. And in John, in four different places, it says, in the last days I will raise you. In the last days of, no. And we're coming before that time, and that's what we have today.
But that's important, because Eve was talking to a minister of light,
yeah,
not a snake,
yeah,
about what? The word, about what? Death.
Yeah.
She didn't want it. And yeah. So it's the same thing.
Yeah, same thing. But that's another doctrine of demons in the church that is proclaimed. So Satan has a foothold. Maybe in some churches, 10%, 20%, maybe 80%. And that's what makes it appealing, because the other percentage, they're doing good. They're helping orphans, widows. They're doing stuff. Okay, that's good. Otherwise, if they were fornicating, you're not going to go to that church. If they had transvestites, and the Methodist church has done this. Well, the Methodist church has gone into homosexuality accepting this. So does the Catholic Church now. According to the Pope, they bless sodomy. Now, obviously, that's no counterfeit. Everybody knows that's it. But these other ones are very selective, and they've been like that for thousands of years. Stripping off every encumbrance and the easily entangled sins with endurance. See, that was in chapter 10. Now we're in chapter 12. The subject of 11. With endurance, let us be running the race that is lying before us, looking away unto our faith's priestly leader and perfecter, Yahushua, who in consideration of the joy lying before him endured a cross, shame despising, and on the right hand of the throne of Yahweh has taken his seat. That is our example. Did Christ stand alone? Yeah. Was he in the Garden of Gethsemane? Yeah, he was alone. You know, so did John the Mercer stand alone? Yes, he did. And so we get to choose. We only stand. And some people will be a lot worse than others, but when you speak the truth, usually the people don't want it because they have itching ears. And so we'll go ahead and end our session with hearing from our Father, 1 Corinthians 14 on the prophecy. Be bold and receive correction from my word. You must receive correction from my word, otherwise you disconnect from me. I am the author. I have given you my word in order to train you and to instruct you so you can instruct others to be well-pleasing in my sight. All right, see you next week.